Again, please pray for me today as I stand before you. I stand in, as always, in need of the Lord's help. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Paul's epistle to the Philippians. And I'd like to read a few verses beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, if you'd like to read with me this morning. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the days of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And I'd like to stop my reading there with verse 11. And the thought that I have upon my heart, the thought that the Lord burdened my heart with this morning, I want to use this for a title to try to express it to you today. And that will be salvation, only the beginning. I want you to think about that salvation today being only the beginning. Sometimes when we think of salvation, and we may even get this view through the way that it's expressed oftentimes by preachers, but we may think about salvation when we get saved. We may think about it in the sense of, well, that's it. You know, I've got saved now. That's it. That's everything. That's all that there is to it. But I really believe that that's what Paul was making reference to here when he wrote to the Philippians and told them that God had begun a good work in them. Now, I do believe this with all my heart, that everybody that has been truly saved by the grace of God has everything that they're going to need to make it to heaven. There's not going to be one person that has been truly saved that's going to miss heaven. But God, when He saved us, had much more in mind for you and I than just securing our souls for eternity. And so God, in speaking peace to our soul and saving us by His grace, begun a good work in us. Now, the Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so those who have been saved, those who are in Christ Jesus in that way, that have had the blood of Jesus Christ wash away their sins, have become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there again, we could say, well, all right then, that's it. That's all there is to it. I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But listen, those of us who are saved, we are not yet everything. We're not nearly yet everything that God intends to make of us. You know, we still, we hear the children oftentimes, and sometimes I think about these little songs that our children sing. Maybe we hear them sing them at vacation Bible school or something like that. And a lot of times we look at them as just being that, just being the songs, the cute songs that the little children sing about the B-I-B-L-E and Jesus Loves Me and songs of this nature. But you know, there's great truth in those songs, in those little songs that our children sing. And we commonly hear them sing the song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." And that's true. To make me what He wants me to be. And that's true. God is still working on us. And those of us that have been saved, God has begun a good work in us. Those of you that have not been saved, it would be my prayer that God would begin that work in your heart today. That you would be saved by His grace today. Because everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to have that spiritual experience with God. Everybody needs to know that when they leave the walks of this life, that heaven's going to be their home, because we're all eternal bound, and there's only two places. There's either a heaven or there's a hell. There's a heaven to be gained. There's a hell to shun. The Bible, the Word of God doesn't teach us about any other eternal place other than those two. So, I pray that if God hasn't saved you, if you don't know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, that you will come to know Him in that way here today. But as I said last week, that's between you and God. That's not between you and man. That's not between you and yourself. That's not something that you can do. Only God can save. Only God has that power to save. But God, when He saved us, those of us that have come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, friends, it's true. He is working on us. God is working on us. God is working on us every day to make us what He would have us to be. The Bible teaches me that we are clay, and that God is the potter. And you know what? Clay, you know what the potter does with clay? He takes the clay and he puts it on the wheel there, and he begins with his hands, he begins to mold it and make it into what he would have it to be. Listen, you may aspire to a lot of things in this world. There may be a lot of goals that you have. There may be a lot of things that you would like to be, but I'll tell you what my desire is in this life. I'll tell you what I would like to be above everything else. In this world, I would like to be what God would have me to be. I'd like to be in the center of God's will, walking with the Lord, and just be content to be that would please God. I'll tell you what, if a person can live in this world, success in life is far too often measured by the wrong standards. It's measured by the wrong standards. People look at another person, and when it comes time for that person to leave the walks of this life and to go into eternity, people look at their lives and they look at what they accomplished in this world. They look at what they accomplished through education and through business, and they look at what kind of, financial soundness that they left behind and what they may have left to their kids and things like this. And we look at those standards and we gauge that person's life oftentimes by that, and we say, that person was a successful person while they lived here in this world. But I want you to know this, that when we pass through this scene of time, our short life, this vapor that God has given to each of us, when we pass through this life, first and foremost, the greatest thing that can ever happen to anybody is to be saved, to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And when it comes time to leave this world, the best thing that anybody could ever say about you or about me or about anybody else, when they look at your life, when they look back through the scenes of your life, the best testimony that anybody could ever give would be to say, you know, I remember that person, and he or she had a great concern for the things of God. The greatest thing that you could ever hope to accomplish in this life. And I want you, listen, young Christians, I want you to listen to this today. I want you to take this to heart. The greatest thing that you could ever hope to accomplish in this life is to strive every day to be what God would have you to be. If you do that, I promise you today, Brother Lovell and I were talking a few days ago, and I know that, and I don't mean it to sound this way, I realize that I've never made many sacrifices in my life. But I told him, I said, whatever that I have, whatever sacrifice that I have made for the Lord, I don't regret a minute of it. I don't regret one thing that I've ever tried to do for the Lord. And I promise you, if you try to live your life for the Lord and you try to let God work in your life and let God be what He would have you to be, listen, when the decisions that you are making in this life, when they come before you, when you're thinking about where you ought to go to college or all of these things in life, these questions that you have, let me urge you, take them to the Lord. Go to God and pray about it and find out what God would have you to be. You know what? He may want you to be something where you may not make as much money as the next person. God may have something for you to do that may not buy you as much fame as maybe what somebody else would have. But if you're willing to be what God would have you to be, then that's the best life that you could possibly live. I know that things have changed in our world. A lot of times today, I think when women choose to stay home with their children, I think a lot of the world has got to where they look at that as being something kind of odd. A lot of people do. Well, why isn't that? Why isn't she out there in the workforce? But let me tell you something. Good Christian mothers, and I realize that everybody's not able to do that, and when people are not, they're not. I've never put anybody down for that. But I'll tell you what, I do believe this, that when good Christian women can spend time with their children in that way, what a great blessing that it is, and how important that it is to be a godly mother. I mean, what a great thing that is. You know, so just being what God would have us to be is, I believe, the formula for success in this life. And to be honest with you, it wasn't my intention to say any of those things that I just said today, but that's not the way I studied at all, but we'll just let the Lord have His way today. God wants us to grow. And as I already said, we've got, if you've been saved by God's grace, you've got all the salvation you need. You've got all you need. If you've been saved by God's grace, you've got all you need to make you eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. But when God saved us, He did not just begin a work in our heart that would help us to escape the damnations of hell when we leave the walks of this life, but God also called us to a life of service. Do you know that today? That everybody that has been saved by God's grace and has the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church, we have been called to God's service. Everybody that's been saved ought to unite with the church. Everybody, that's God's desire for everybody that's been saved to put their light on the candlestick, like we read there in the fifth chapter of Matthew, not to take it and hide it under a bushel, but to put their light on the candlestick and let it shine out to those in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But God has called us to a lifestyle to live our lives for His honor and His glory. And God would have us to grow in that and abound in that and learn more about that all the time. As the Apostle Peter wrote, that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We ought to grow as Christians. We ought to mature as Christians. The Bible tells us that when this work begins in us, that we are merely babes in Christ. That we merely start out on the sincere milk of the word because we're babes in Christ and we're not yet mature, but we are not to remain in that state. Just as little infant children, just as the little babies that I've seen here this morning, just as they take that milk, their bodies grow and their minds grow and they eventually develop into an adult if God allows them to live. And that's the same way that God would have it to be with those of us who are saved, that God begins that work in us, and there's a process of growth that begins in us when we are saved, known as sanctification, and thereby, day by day, we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, that we would not remain spiritual infants, but that we might mature in the Lord, that we might eventually be able to take more than the milk. These little children eventually are going to be able to eat. They're going to be able to eat solid food, and it'll help them to grow and to mature, their bodies to grow and mature. And it's the same way with the Lord's church. And I have told people this before, that, you know, because so many people, it seems like they act like, you know, being members of the church, that it's no big deal whether they come or not. It's no big deal whether they miss or not. But I'll tell you what, friend, you ought to realize this and look at it this way, that every time you miss hearing the word of God spiritually upon you, it has had the same effect that it will have upon your body when it misses a meal. If you skip a meal, then your body has missed nourishment. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of diet plans in the world today, but I promise you that any good diet plan will not encourage you to skip meals. They'll encourage you to eat the meals. Eat the right things, have the right things, but don't skip the meals. That's not a good diet, and that's not a good spiritual diet either, because every time that we skip that, you miss something that you need. And friends, listen, as Christian people, just as the natural body needs to be fed, natural food, as Christian people, we need that spiritual food that we may grow thereby. And we need to be fed. And the way that we are fed is by the Word of God and by His teachings and by being exposed to that. And that's how we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We are not yet what we're going to be. We're not. We've had some good times in the Lord here on the earth, haven't we? Had some wonderful blessings. I'll tell you what, I've had some times, and I thank God for every one of them. I've had some times with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I've had some times when I've gathered in worship services just like this one here today, and God would make His presence known through the Holy Spirit, and that power would begin to fill the hearts of God's people and begin to move among us, and people would begin to testify and rejoice in the Lord, and you can feel such a great presence of the Lord's Spirit in that way. But we haven't yet experienced the things that we are going to experience. We haven't yet seen what we are going to see. The best, my friends, is certainly yet to come. And we are not yet what we are going to be, because we still have this treasure in earthen vessels. We still live in these corruptible bodies. And John the Apostle said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We haven't even seen the completion of it yet, but God is working on us, and He's bringing us to that. And so we are so handicapped, I believe, in really worshiping the Lord that the way that we ought to be worshiping Him and serving Him the way that we ought to be, because we're hindered by this nature of Adam that we still possess, and we're hindered by time, and we allow so many things to hinder us. But I look forward to the completion of the work that God started in me when He saved me. I mean that honestly. I look forward to the completion of that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul wrote and said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Well, what's that mean? I thought we were already redeemed. Well, we are. God has already purchased our souls, and they've already been redeemed, but God is going to completely redeem us one day. God will make us one day perfect in soul and body. God will complete that which He has begun in us. These bodies that we have today, friends, I promise you, they could not stand in God's heaven. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to get rid of them. That which is corruptible is going to have to be sown one day. And Paul said it'll be sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. It'll be sown in weakness, but raised in power. So we need to press on. And I want to encourage Brother Martin today, as he's baptized and becomes a member of the church here, I want to encourage him to press toward the mark, to live his life for the Lord, to live every day realizing that, we need to continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We need to continue to advance in our service to God. We need to continue to draw closer and closer to the Lord every day until that day that we leave the walks of this life. We ought to be learning about the Lord. Do you know what a disciple is? The true meaning of a disciple? A disciple is someone that just continues and continues to learn. That's what a disciple is, a learner, a learner. And so God has begun a good work in us. He's keeping us by His power. But day by day, we need to grow in the Lord. We need to press toward in this life what God would have us to be. Do you want to be today what God would have you to be? Would you like for your life to please the Lord, or would you rather that it would please you, or please your family, or please other people? What would you have today? I'll tell you, friends, listen, the greatest thing that anybody can ever aspire to is to please God with their life. You're going to stand before Him one day. Every one of us is going to stand before God one day. And the most important thing that you could ever accomplish is for God to be pleased with your life. We're going to get ready here in a moment. I appreciate your attention today. I just hope that maybe a little something's been said to be helpful to you in some way today. We're going to get ready to administer the ordinance of baptism. But first, I'd like to ask Brother Ronnie to come and lead us in a verse of song. I'd like to open the doors of the church today. We receive members into our church first by experience and baptism, as we're going to today. If you have a testimony, if you know that you have a time and place when you pass from death unto life, then you give your testimony, and the church will act accordingly, and you can receive all rights and privileges in the church when you're baptized, or also by letter or credit of a letter from a sister church with which we fellowship, or perhaps sometimes by statement of your baptism. So we want to ask everyone to stand. If you know today that God would have you to be a member of Fairview Memorial, then if you would come up, the church will hear your testimonies. So let's stand and sing.
For 65. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way.
Be seated for a moment. We have Sherry and Caleb Cox that have come forward today to present themselves for membership into the church. Who wants to go first? We'll ask Sister Sherry, if she would, to give her experience of when the Lord saved her.
I was 14 years old. It was on a Wednesday night during Bible, and I remember it plain as day when the Lord spoke to my heart, and I went to head to the altar. I felt like someone had their hand on my back, and I really thought it was my mother, but it wasn't. I know it was the Lord. He saved my soul that night.
Amen. All right. You've heard her testimony. Sister Sherry told me to let it be known to the church that she would need to be received by baptism. Her baptism that she has was from a church of completely different denominations. So you've heard her testimony. If it's the will of the body to receive her, then we need a motion and second to receive her by baptism. What's the will of the body? All right, we have a motion and second to receive her into the church and grant her all rights and privileges when she's baptized. Any members of Fairview Memorial would like to speak to the motion? If not, all the members of the church here, please raise your hand. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? By the same voting sign. Motion carries. Caleb, if you would, please, I'm going to give you this, and you tell the church about when you got saved.
Well, I was at a church activity with one of my friends, and during prayer, it just felt like God just punched me in the heart and said I was saved.
You got more?
Not really.
Okay. All right. And Caleb would also need to be received by baptism. So you've heard his testimony. What's the will of the body? All right, we have a motion and second then to receive Caleb and grant him all rights. Have the baptism, and when you all come around to give Brother Martin the right hand of church fellowship, at that time I'm going to ask Sister Sherry and Brother Caleb if they would to stand out front here towards the end, and as we go by, perhaps better to start on this side, but as we go by, we'll give them the right hand of Christian fellowship. So, Brother Ronnie, start us off. Brother Martin, come on if you would. We're going to go and prepare for the ordinance.
Number 120. 120.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming. street of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
133.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering tires the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on.
I'm certainly thankful for this young man. In a short time, I've learned to love him very much. And I'm thankful that God saved him. And I'm thankful that he was willing to follow the Lord in baptism.
265.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His wills obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
167.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. Unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told.
Number 235.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Naught of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory.